flat circle. Everything we've ever done or will do, we're going to do over and over and over again.
Afternoons with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
Don't make me have to separate you two again. Damn it.
On the Horn, 104.9, AM 1260, and hornfm.com. With the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon delight.
Run fast for your mother, run fast for your father.
Let's go hour number two on a Friday. We are at HEB Wells Branch Parkway. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling producing back in the studio. Thanks to our crew out here for getting us set up. Charles and the crew getting us all set up. Thanks to Leslie for coming out as well, getting everything set up here at HEB Wells Branch Parkway. Come out, get set up for all your tailgating needs for the weekend. And as we start hour number two, I love this woman just screaming. I love that. She's been screaming all on and off the whole show.
She's making tamales back there, too.
Oh, I'd like some of those.
You make tamales. You can scream all you want.
It's fantastic. The screaming tamale lady. I love that. All right. Oh, and by the way, while I'm thinking about it, our man Kenny the Cake Guy.
Yeah.
Big ups to Kenny the Cake Guy for the cake yesterday. My wife has a message for Kenny the Cake Guy. You can't go wrong with chocolate. That's what my wife said to tell Kenny the Cake Guy. I tried to explain to her, I'm not into it.
So we're going to try and get picky about gifts that are given to us now?
I tried to tell her, like, he's giving me cake, honey. He's not giving you cake. He's giving me cake. So I like the carrot cake.
Well, you could have done what I did, and I completely appreciate the gift, and the gift was even better because it was the same price, and I like carrot cake a lot.
Yep.
I love Tres Leches.
You did the old switcheroo?
I talked to someone.
Okay.
I talked to someone.
All right.
We got it clear.
Fair enough.
But I did the switcheroo and just hammered down some Tres Leches last night.
That is awesome.
After a good meal at Shoal Creek Saloon.
Nice.
I was stuffed.
That's good stuff. All right. Yeah, shout out to Kenny the Cake Guy for yesterday. Shout out to all of our great listeners who are nice enough to come by and say hello. One of our favorites of all time, Blind Sean, has come by to hang out with us for about an hour or so. He's listening to the show, and we always love seeing him. Also, Melissa came by. She loves Coke FM and Bob Cole. She kind of loves us, but she really loves Bob Cole.
Yeah.
She wanted to send the message to Bob.
I listen to y'all every Sunday. What song are you going to play next? Creed.
She's ready for Cole.
For the stuff we've been coming into this week.
Yeah. So, Bob, if you're out there, one more fan to put on the list. Robert came by to say hello as well. And, Kevin, we got to give love to Mr. Ramirez and his class once again.
Yeah, Mark's on the text line a lot. He always has good takes and will ask some enlightening questions, and we'll go back and forth. But the best thing about Mark, outside of that, is that he's a teacher at the Texas School for the Blind and Visually Impaired. And we've talked about it before on this show, how a lot of those kids listen, and it's pretty inspiring some of the work they do. They fund themselves by T-shirts, hats, embroidering things, and we've seen the work they've done before for some of the things they've done. They did a Cabin Dune hat. Did a Monkey Hastings hat.
Yep.
And it's really good work. And Mark brought by this hat that they made for me. You want to go ahead and tell them what it is?
The OK Cool Hook'em hat.
I will be sporting this tomorrow at the game. Well done. Good fitting hat. And those kids, thank you so much. I will wear this with pride. The fact that you guys did it. Even a little bit more pride, but it's impressive stuff, and it's impressive what they're doing at that school.
Yeah, we'll get a picture of Kevin's hat sent out on our social media. It is a seriously cool-looking hat. I saw earlier in the week Eric Raines over at Coke FM got himself an OK Cool Hook'em T-shirt. I know there's a couple different paths, but with all due respect to however he got that shirt, I think you got a much more special version of OK Cool Hook'em this week.
Well, yeah, and I mentioned, I was like, I want one of those, and Mark was all over it. So, man, we're just lucky with our listeners. We went way down south. Not way down south. It's not way down south anymore. But went down south, and now we're up here north. And they brought it yesterday. The Brody people brought it.
Yep.
And we're getting that so far here.
Very cool. Yeah, a lot of nice folks here in the Pflugerville area as well.
Instead of East Coast, West Coast, I'm trying to get a north-south.
A little north-south battle going. Well, every time we go to one of those locations that can be described as either north or south, they all do the same thing. You guys never come
north. You guys never come out here. I know, right. Yeah.
You guys never come down south.
You guys like south more, don't you? And we'll get that on the other way around, which is nice if people are listening.
They're battling each other. Yeah, we appreciate
that. But seriously, thank you, Mark, and thank you, students.
Absolutely incredible. Also, real quick shout-out here, as long as we're doing a shout-out. How about this? Somebody sent a text earlier that said that they love started 2-0 today thanks to the Action Network. Love the app.
Okay.
Good to hear. We're going to talk with Chris Rabin of the Action Network in an hour, talk NFL games, and Brandon Lang coming up at 6:05. But it's good to hear that the Action Network's getting some people some love.
Not the first time I heard that. Sean, you out of here? All right, take care, man. Good to see you,
brother.
That it's not the first time. Trampy, one of my degenerate gambling friends, mentioned that. He goes, yeah, you got that rebound guy on. I got that app. So if he's got the app, that, by the way, that is a dead-on impression.
Okay. Now, we all know that sometimes I don't remember meeting people. Have I ever met Trampy?
I don't think so.
Remember meeting
the
Trampy.
The good thing is Trampy's a lot like you. He wouldn't remember it, and neither of y'all would be hurt by it. You just start a conversation. It would probably quickly get into football.
Fair enough. All right. Starting this hour, you heard Trey in the headlines throw it out, but apparently, and Kevin, you talked about this earlier in the week, but apparently this Les Miles to Kansas thing's going to happen. They are finalizing a deal.
When you give up $5 million, something's up.
Right, exactly.
Free $5 million.
You don't think Les is just going to hand somebody $5 million and then go play golf?
Yeah, you're owed $5
million. Right. Kevin talked about earlier in the week that he reached a $1.5 million settlement with LSU, and obviously that was the thought of something's, you know, opening up here. So this is not a big surprise as far as, you know, from yesterday to today, but overall it might be a surprise. 65 years old, Les Miles, the man really must want to coach.
That's exactly what was on my mind right there.
And my God, Kevin, what kind of argument could Jeff Long have possibly made to Les Miles to make him want to go to Kansas right now?
You know, I don't think you would sell it this way, but definitely Les probably feels like he didn't get the credit that he was due at LSU and maybe a little Oklahoma State, but definitely LSU. Mm-hmm. And Chad, you said it. Clearly he just wants to get back in coaching again, and you take advantage of that. Herm Edwards clearly wanted to get back into coaching again. John Gruden. I mean, these guys,
right,
it is a drug for them to some degree, and TV will help you out a little bit with that, but there's nothing like the rush these guys get on game day.
So my first question would be, if you're a Kansas fan, the average, everyday, run-of-the-mill Kansas football fan, how many wins does he need to give you to just have you check the box and go, sure, well, you can stay, we're good?
First off, it's a worse version of what we talked about with Texas, how I said, well, you can't just be firing people. You're going to poison what the job is. Well, that job is so poisoned right now. But they've even felt impatient, right, for who they are. Mm-hmm. And the lower you are on the rung, the more patience you need to have. So patience would be the number one thing. I don't know. I mean, maybe they're going to try and get into the game like their basketball program is.
Oh, I see.
That game.
Because I'm thinking, if he won 5 games a year, he could coach forever at Kansas, couldn't he?
You would think, but the problem is what they have in their head is Mangino and all that stuff. They're thinking Orange Bowl, 10 wins. Not that that was ever really – I mean, when you think Kansas football, what do you think? You think Gale Sayers – maybe that June Henley run with Lynn Mason in the early 90s, and you think Mangino. That's about it.
Yeah, I was going to say Gale Sayers, Mangino, and Todd Reesing.
Okay, yeah. Well,
right. That's team,
the Mangino run.
That
right,
team,
yeah.
And then, yeah, that's about all I would think of. Wow, Les Miles looks like he will be the coach at Kansas in the next maybe day or so. They make it official. Wild stuff. All right, it is the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260, hornfm.com. Remember, high school football tonight hits the playoffs. Only thing better than Friday Night Lights is Friday Night Lights when it's the playoffs. Bowie and Steele over on 105.3 The Bat. Lake Travis will be on 104.9 The Horn right here against Smithson Valley, and Vandegrift against Tomball Memorial, all at over on AM 1260 and 101.9. All three of those games kick at 7:30 8:30. So go to hornfm.com, find out how you can stream all those games. High school playoffs. Congrats to Hutto.
I saw that.
They got a nice win. Unfortunately, this is the time of year where, unfortunately, an area team has to lose. So it sucks for McCallum.
Yeah.
And they obviously had a good year. So shout out to Jeff Ketchum's alma mater. But, hey, Hutto is rolling right now.
Yeah, and it does show you how some of these areas grow. My mom lives in Taylor, and so I see it with Hutto where my aunt lives. Like, those areas have grown. They weren't going to be beating, even though when I was growing up, McCallum wasn't what they would have been when my mom was at Reagan, right? But it was, they still would have gone to Hutto and beat a 2 or 3A team pretty handily.
Yeah, right. Not anymore?
More people. I mean, there's a lot of people that are heading out there.
Oh, yeah. It's very different.
North and south.
Well, here's something crazy. Yesterday I was talking during a break to Rick Epstein as he was getting ready for Under the Lights. And I guess this would have been Wednesday because that's when the show is on. But so Wednesday we were talking, and he said that the quarterback at Hutto, Griffin, is
– UCLA, right?
Yeah, he's going to UCLA, but he is about to – I'm not sure if he did it in the game last night, but he's about to pass a couple of Kyler Murray's big records.
Yeah, I did hear Rick say that, which is
– I think it's passing yards and passing touchdowns. He's going to pass Kyler.
Man, who was, what, 43-0?
Yeah, who never lost a game and won 3 state titles and all of that. Obviously, Hutto doesn't have the state titles yet. They're hoping to grab one of those this year. But good start to the playoffs for Hutto.
What did you think of Kyler Murray and the whole Bo Jackson thing? Did you see that? Have you seen that picture yet?
No, I've not seen it.
You remember Bo when he had the pads on and the baseball bat, that picture, that whole marketing ad?
They did a redo?
Did a redo of that.
Okay.
It's for the Heisman, trying to give him a little Heisman push there.
I got you. That makes sense. And I guess he's going to be – we haven't talked Heisman all year for obvious reasons, but I guess he's going to be in that – he's in that discussion right now, right?
It'd be Tua, Murray, and then after that I don't know who'd be after that. But, yeah, that'd be it. I mean, you know me, the way I look at it, I'd have Quinnen Williams in the top five and something stupid like that.
Gardner Minshew.
Gardner, just for the stash.
Bring the mustache.
You know what? He probably is up there in all seriousness.
He might be.
I mean, because it's going to be five quarterbacks. That's kind of what it's turned into.
Yeah, sadly, that is sort of what it has turned into. Ed Oliver was going to get invited, but they wouldn't let him wear the coat.
Well done, sir.
They said he couldn't come in without the
coat. Well done.
Couldn't come in with the coat on.
Although, then again, if Ed wanted to get nice and petulant and go up there and give a speech and touch the statue that he didn't win, you'd have to say, Ed, this isn't your place right now, right?
That's true. Yeah. I guess that's...
Neither look good on
No,
that.
Neither
Especially
side.
With Major. You're trying to recruit H-Town and all that. There are more layers to what's going on there with not only the Bryles thing, but just kind of who's in charge. There definitely seems to be a power struggle at the top at U of H right now.
Yeah, it's weird. That's a weird story. We talked a little bit about that. We talked about the NBA drama with KD and Draymond as well a little bit last hour. Those two stories kind of floating around on the drama side. Obviously, we talked a lot of Texas and Iowa State. How about this just coming in on the text line? It's Specs text line 337-3776. Fun, juicy coaching rumor for you guys. OU is currently in negotiations with Pete Golding, the current co-defensive coordinator at Alabama, to become OU's new DC.
Wow, and that's a great text, one, because we didn't know that, and we appreciate new scoops like that. Is that our OU scoop guy? Is that the guy who texted us on a Friday and said, yeah, I know you guys aren't going to buy this, but Kyler Murray's not going to start because he was late for a meeting. He's not going to start the first possession. We're like, okay, we'll give it a quick mention.
I don't know. Maybe. I'm not sure.
Pete Golding. Yeah, but it's also important, too, because that's something that it's easy to forget about, but that's really important. As we keep an eye on, I'm also keeping hope out that Lincoln Riley is going to get some looks.
You're hoping Lincoln Riley gets a look from Jerry?
Yeah, which is also why I got to be rooting for Atlanta this Sunday. Sorry.
Oh, see, okay. Well, no, I understand. It's a personal reason. I get that.
Yeah.
There's a personal thing behind that. This texter says Kansas is 3-7, lest we forget. They're miles away from relevant. That's good work, too.
No doubt.
Very
no doubt about
good
that.
Good work. Good work. All right. Yes, less miles.
What the hell's going on back there?
I'm telling you, she is screaming and making tamales and doing all kinds. The screaming tamale lady. Came over and brought us some tamales. We're going to try during the break. And she's happy about her job, I think. I thought she was yelling for us at first, but now I think she just screams every once in a while.
I think it's more that.
Yeah.
All right, you know me. I'm going to get into this lineage. UTSA, before Alabama, Southern Miss, Southeastern Louisiana, Delta State. Well, this guy's been around, but nowhere really big right now. I mean, UTSA would add Marcus Davenport and some good defenses there. Definitely the Southern Miss defense would have been good, but he would have been a DB coach there. Yeah, this is he's pretty young, but you know, I hadn't seen. Well, I guess Orlando had been at Houston. There's definitely hires we've seen that you go. Here's one when they got Chip Kelly from Maine. I remember going, well, that seems like a stretch. Sometimes, I mean, when you go, we sat here on this day, you know, and said, boy, I like Sean McVay as a coordinator. Do you hire a head coach that young?
30, whatever, 31, 33, whatever
that's right.
It was.
Go with it.
Yeah. Well, and in this case also, one thing you can do if you're looking for a coach nowadays is who's on that Saban staff right now?
Yeah.
And who are the extra guys, too? Who's on the staff? Who are the extra analysts? I mean, he's got tons of them.
That's true, but it's only 1 year with Saban, so how much can you actually take? I would definitely be looking at, okay, what did this guy do at UTSA and Southern Miss and really Southeastern Louisiana where he was a DC? Because UTSA was a DC, Southeastern Louisiana is a DC, but what did he do with that talent? Because – Chad, I'd put you out there, and they wouldn't. You wouldn't give up much with Quinnen Williams and Bugs and Mac and all those guys.
That's a fair point. Coming up, we'll get you the big three. We'll talk with Rod Babers, Longhorn Insider segment coming up. More on Texas and Iowa State. The injury updates, if you have not heard those, coming right up. Also, the afternoon blitz and one and done before the hour is over. HEB, Wells Branch Parkway. We're going to try some tamales. Come see us. This is the Horn. Rolling through a Friday here on the Horn, HEB, Wells Branch Parkway. Trey, what do you got here?
Smashing Pumpkins have a new album out today. It's called Shiny and Oh So Bright. And this is a song off that album called Silvery Sometimes.
That's exactly who it sounded like. I thought, well, maybe there's an act out there that sounds eerily like them, but then I remember you saying a while ago they had some new music coming out, so there you go. Smashing Pumpkins, new Smashing Pumpkins out there.
Did you like them?
I love that sound. I love his voice, again, because nobody sings like him. When you are singularly
some anger, man, I liked it.
Yeah, that too. Well, that, you know me, I love good anger.
You
in
do
a song.
That was anger I could deal with, though, because I just liked the way it sounded.
He definitely had that angry, like, I don't know what you call it, an angry screaming whine of a – it's just – he's got a great voice, a great signature sound. I haven't listened to enough Smashing Pumpkins, I'll admit that. I've never disliked anything I've ever heard by them, but I've also never sat through an entire album
here
and said, here's Smashing – I haven't listened to, like, the whole record with what's that song called? Rat in a Cage. It's got a weird first title, though.
Ready to Cage?
Yeah, that the Ready to Cage song. Right. I've never listened to that whole album. I need to do that.
That's probably my favorite. What's the title of that song, Trey? It does have a different title.
Rat in a Cage?
Yeah, that song.
That song has a different title, though. It's like I got another title in my head, but I can't think of what it is. But anyway, so new Smashing Pumpkins out there. Also, a reminder, Bevo Boulevard is back for the last time, last home game this year. Get on out there tomorrow. Bevo Boulevard opens at 2, and Bucky and I will get started at 3 o'clock right there between gates 2 and 3. And then Aaron and Rod will be over at 17th and San Jacinto for the Texas Tailgarden portion of our pregame. Ghostland Observatory on the Longhorn City Limits stage at 5:30. Dalton Domino, as we told you, Coors Light Silver Bullet stage at gate 25 at 5.
Do I need to bring my 3D glasses?
Yes, exactly. It'd be all kinds of 3D. Derek Johnson, bring your autograph book.
Nice.
Because Derek Johnson will be doing halftime there at the Coors Light Silver Bullet Bar, gate 25. And be sure to drop by our photo booth, broadcast booth. Use that hashtag Hook'em Coors 1049, and you can win some cool prizes as well. It's going to be fun out there tomorrow, and let's hope the Longhorns can end it out with a nice victory. Also, let's jump into the big three here. We'll talk more about the game with Rod Babers right after the big three.
Bullet with butterfly wings, guys. That was the name of the
song.
There
it is. Jeez. Bullet with butterfly wings.
How'd we miss that?
Knew it had a weird title. Big three to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Dan Slaughter, just like I did. 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com. All right, here we go. A lot of college football in this big three. We'll start with the Les Miles news. Apparently, it's rumor gone to news. Les Miles, apparently, will be the next head coach at Kansas. The buyout with LSU going to open up the opportunity at Kansas, and apparently he's the next guy. As we get ready for Texas and Iowa State, the injury news, I'll see if I can get this right. Colin Johnson, according to some, probable for the game, did practice yesterday. Brandon Jones thought of as doubtful by NFL standards right now, limited in practice yesterday. Devontae Davis, probable. Hager, probable. Stearns, probable. Ingram, probable. Josh Thompson will not play in this game. So a lot of probable there, and hopefully those guys will be able to go. Last night, Seattle certainly was able to go, especially late when they needed a big drive. Russell Wilson takes them down the field, 27-24. They beat Green Bay. Good, entertaining game there, and 34 minutes of time of possession for the Seahawks. We'll see what possessions look like for the Texas basketball team tonight. The offensive side of things specifically, they play the Citadel tonight at 7. It's over on Coke FM. What do you need to see from that group tonight in Game 4?
I want to see more consistency. They've put together stretches, 10, 15 minutes, where they've looked really good. I like how bouncy and jumpy they are defensively. I think they're going to be able to cause a lot of problems. But I worry that maybe they just don't have enough shooters on the roster, but you've got to work with that, maybe get more mid-range stuff. And we did talk about the screen, drag screens a little bit. There are some things that I think offensively Shaka and this team can play around with, but it's going to be something that's a problem. Probably one of those things that we're monitoring all year, right?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Yeah, just kind of see what it looks like. As you mentioned, Citadel's not a bad basketball team. 2-1 coming in, they're pretty good.
No, Texas could lose this, especially if Citadel is if they do anything from beyond the arc, which I expect they will. That's where the matchup is for me. So yeah, I'll be excited to watch that on a Friday night as I'm getting ready for some college football.
That's tomorrow. It. 7 o'clock on Coke FM. And if you do want some college football tonight, how about Boise at New Mexico? That's 8 o'clock on CBS Sports Network, and Memphis is at SMU. That's also 8 o'clock on ESPN2. But we're obviously talking a lot of Texas and Iowa State. Let's get Rod Babers into this discussion one more time. The Longhorn Insider segment we do at 3:30 and 4:30 each and every day during football season. And of course, you can catch Rod weekdays 1 to 3 on the Rodcast. So, Rod, you've been involved both at the college and pro level with injury situations. From what you're hearing, how much can you try to interpret this a little bit for us when you hear, the probables? Do Texas fans need to think that these probables are going to play and questionable guys won't? How do you read the tea leaves on these injury reports?
Yeah, I mean, that's really tough because a lot of it's about the individual and pain tolerance in certain situations and how much, Colin Johnson has had some time to rest. So how much has that rest helped him get back to, 75% to 80%? And is he at 75% or 80% going to be better than the backup at 100%? There's so many different things you got to weigh. But I think the coaches are, encouraging guys to, play if they can. I think most guys who can play and even at 65%, they're going to try to go. I think that's why late this week you're starting to hear the reports that people are optimistic about Brandon Jones and Colin Johnson. I, as a guy who played late in my career, there's no way I'd miss a game like this with two top 16 teams. There's any way I could possibly go. We see that with Brecken Hager even last week. He's got like an elbow issue and a shoulder issue, and he still finds a way to tough it out. Don't know how effective you're going to be with that injury. But I can see why most guys would try to go. My concern is that even if they're out there, would they be a liability for Texas?
Rob, when you look at this Iowa State team, I mean, we've talked about it, the similarities between these two programs and personnel and how they're trying to scheme the personnel. It's very, very it's almost odd, I mean, how similar they are. But if you look at their personnel in the back half with what they're trying to do, they've got the same three-man front, some bigger guys.
Yeah.
If you can get to that second level, you can. You've talked about it, and I've seen it on film. You can run on them. How exactly would you do that? Not only with Sam Keontae, I mean, do you really press your outside zone and maybe run some zone read off of it where he pulls it back and he's got the perimeter?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. From what I've seen, the teams that have had a lot of success moving the ball against them, their running backs have been a threat in the running game and a big part of the running game overall with design quarterback runs. I mean, look at Oklahoma, right? Oklahoma was able, I think they had 171 yards rushing against, I believe some of you, 171 yards total against Iowa State. But you go look at that, I think 70-something yards, 77 of them are Kyler Murray. And you go look at Baylor, had over 500 total yards, but, you know, Charlie Brewer was their leading rusher. Kyler Murray was Oklahoma's leading rusher. I know it may sound crazy. It's been a while since Texas has had to have Sam be that integral in the running game, but I truly believe you're going to move the ball against a top 15 ranked rush defense. I think they're 16th, which they are. I think you got to start with the quarterback and then the running game, in my opinion. I think you build on that concept because they're going to try to stop Sam as a running threat if you're using design runs, the zone read. And I think from then on, you can kind of build on other run game concepts. You try to go out there in a prototypical traditional running game, just handing off to the running back, and man, I would say it's going to eat you alive. They just will.
Yeah, you're right. Can't go basic right at Iowa State.
No.
Probably not. Not a good idea. Tell me how you think Andrew Beck could factor into this game. I was listening to Tom Herman talk about Andrew last night. He was one of the guys that they had at Longhorn Weekly yesterday, one of the senior captains, talking about, you know, his situation. And Craig was mentioning how 22 catches. He couldn't believe he caught that many balls. It was a little impressive, I guess, that he caught that many. How do you think 47 could factor into this, trying to be a little more creative on offense?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's obvious, Longhorn fan, you guys have talked about this too. Andrew Beck, even though he's been great as a receiver, he's your best, most productive tight end since Jermichael Finley was on the 40 acres. As a blocker, he's been even better. And I actually missed him a few times on some of those delayed releases when he's open. But as a blocker, he has been really one of your MVPs in the running game. And I think, you know, that's why you like him. He can get to the second level, but he can also, I mean, he can seal off a gap for you. I think that's one of the things that I love about Andrew Beck. And I think in this game, you can't afford to, you know, miss him on those red zone delayed releases, because he's going to pop wide open a couple of times a game. Depending on the framework of the play, the misdirection, the play action, he's going to pop open, man. I guarantee. We see it almost every game, him pop open like he's wide open. I think you'll see that again in this game. But one thing that I think Texas is going to have an advantage in the passing game, guys, is, you know, whoever that corner is opposite Brian Peavy, and we've seen a lot of different, you know, players they've thrown out there as kind of a money ball approach to that position. But whoever they are, they're a liability. And with Texas receivers trending the way they are, you could argue we have not seen Texas receivers play this well since Jordan Shipley and Quan Cosby were on the 40 acres. I mean, that's how good this group is. Little Jordan Humphrey, two consecutive games with 140-plus yards. That makes him the fourth wide receiver in Texas football history to do that. I just found out today Little Jordan Humphrey's leading the country in third down receiving yards. On third down. He's been money in the bank there. I think most of that because Colin Johnson was out, and Colin Johnson, prior to that, he had been the money man on third down. I think he's got 50 receptions, 36 of those for first downs or touchdowns. And then on top of that, hey, you want to cover Devin Duvernay one-on-one. Well, you know, good luck with that. He's got three touchdowns in the last 2 weeks, 166 receiving yards, his best two-game stretch since he's been a receiver here at Texas. So the wide receivers are trending in the right direction. I think this wide receiving core versus that secondary of Iowa State, I know it's going to sound crazy, I think that's Texas, might be their biggest advantage in this game in terms of any matchup.
Yeah, and so if you don't get to the second level, because, I mean, they are light in the ass once you get there. You got 215, you got 228, 224, 186, 191, and then you start getting into the secondary. They can also take advantage of that other corner. You're right. I think it will be DeAndre Payne, the Tennessee transfer. We talked about them being a program a lot like West Virginia, where you've got JUCOs, you got a lot of transfers. Payne and how Texas goes after him is going to be huge in this game.
Yeah, I agree. I think how they decide to attack him is going to be really big. And how Iowa State uses Brian Peavy. We don't know how they're going to use Brian Peavy yet, if they're going to move him around. I doubt they do a matchup thing. The real reason I think they want Colin Johnson out there, even if he's 65%, guys, he's got gravity. They're going to pay attention to him. You know what I mean? They may roll coverage his way. They may decide, because they don't really know. But it'll keep them from double-teaming Lil Jordan Humphrey on a consistent basis. And Lil Jordan Humphrey just needs one or two plays where he's one-on-one. He can make big things happen down the field. I saw Baylor do it, guys. And Baylor, they lit them up down the field. They got chunky yardage pass plays down the field. They just couldn't score in the red zone. I mean,
they just couldn't score in the red zone.
Yeah, and I think Texas can do the same thing Baylor did, but I think Texas will score in the red zone because Sam Ellinger is such a weapon down there.
Guys, here's something to toss around. So if they don't want to move PV around, he's technically listed as the left cornerback.
Yeah.
Sam, to me, has looked more comfortable when he's going through his progressions and reads right to left. I'm not saying he can't go left to right. Mm. I also think the double stack formation where you load up Little Jordan and Colin Johnson, Chad, that seems to be on the right side. Where mm-hmm. They've done it on both, but there seems to be a little bit more comfortable on that side. So that may match up well with PV being the left cornerback.
Yeah, I agree. And honestly, if it doesn't match up well, how about you make it match up well? That's what the scheme is all about.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
And Heacock will.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing about Heacock, and I gave you that stat about them being a second-half adjustment team. Guys, we've talked about how similar these two programs are, how like-minded in terms of ideology these two offenses are, the defenses. You talked about how eerie it is. They're kind of running the same scheme and have the same process. So this is a game about coaching because essentially Texas is scouting itself. They're defending it themselves, and they're playing offense against themselves. And I think that this will be a big test for the coaches, man, to see what kind of game plan they have against the best defense in the Big 12, number one. But also on the flip side of that, you got this Texas defense. What's the adjustment for Todd Orlando? I said it earlier, guys. I think it might be as simple as Todd Orlando needs to, and he even brought it up himself, needs to improve the tackling. I got the number at 60 missed tackles the last 3 weeks, guys, and I don't give a damn what's scheme you're paying. I don't give a damn if it's a four-man front, four down lineman, cover three, cover two, cover five, whatever.
Just play better.
If you're missing 20 tackles, it doesn't matter what coverage you're in. It don't.
That's a fair point. Rod, I got one more question for you, but before I get that in, why don't you tell the folks about the good folks over at Honda and all the stuff they've got going on.
Oh, yeah, man. This is the holiday season, and we all know the holiday season, yes, the most wonderful time of the year, but also one of the most stressful times of the year. So skip the headaches. Let my friends at Honda hook you up with the brand new Honda with all the toys you love, the hands-free calling, the head-up display, and all that stuff you love. And then for this holiday season, you can hook the entire family up with a brand new Honda during the Happy Honda Day sales event going on right now at your local Central Texas Honda dealers. And they'll sweeten the deal for you. How about this? You get 90 days to make your first payment on a brand new Honda if you act now during the Happy Honda Day sales event. That means the brand new 2019 Honda Accord, which is the sleekest, most advanced Accord of all time, you can get that one hooked up for one of those Happy Honda Day sales event prices, and also 90 days to make your first payment. But how about the Pilot or the Odyssey or the Honda Civic? They got something for everyone in the Honda family. And right now, perfect time to solve your Honda envy because they're going to give you 90 days to make that first payment. So go start something special in a brand new Honda at your local Central Texas Honda. Those at any of their four Austin area locations up in Round Rock, there's Round Rock Honda. You go Central, you'll find First Texas Honda in South Austin. You've got Howdy Honda, and down in San Marcos, you can shop at Honda San Marcos or go online at CentralTexasHondaDealers.com.
All right, Rod, we try to be as realistic a show as we can. I feel like the realistic question to finish with would be about defense. So you tell me, what number does Texas need to hold Iowa State to win this game? Based on what you think the offense can do on the other side, what's the number where the defense needs to hold the Cyclones?
It's a great question in the Big 12, man. I'm going to go
– yeah.
Because Iowa State's not meant to be prolific. They don't want to get 500 yards and score 50 points. It's kind of built like Texas. They want to control the game, control the clock. I'm going to go, if they can hold Iowa State to 35 or less, Texas can win. If they don't, it could be a long day for them.
Definitely sounds like a Big 12 game to me.
Definitely sounds like an over, too.
That's right. Sounds like an over. Sounds like an over.
It won't be 17-7.
No.
We know that.
Well, at some point it might be, right? In second quarter.
Yeah.
Not finishing that way. Rod Babers, Longhorn Insider. Rod, have a great weekend, and we'll definitely talk to you tomorrow with the Texas Tail Garden.
All right, brother. Y'all have a good one.
Hey, you too, Rob. We'll see you tomorrow.
Aaron and Rod over there, 17th and San Jacinto, the Texas Tail Garden portion of our pregame. Bucky and I will be, of course, at Bevo Boulevard right there between gates 2 and 3.
So I knew that I didn't have it up, but I knew that Citadel had done some pretty good things offensively. I didn't realize how good. They're actually leading the country with 121.7 points per game.
Wow.
I did know they're a good three-point shooting team. They are second in the country, 3 points made per game.
It is a great equalizer that football just doesn't have.
It is.
Three-point shooting in college basketball.
Let's see where this Texas defense is against that, and then can Texas match Citadel in what could be a shootout?
That's a good point. All right, coming up, we'll see if you've got any good points. You don't need to make good points. It's the afternoon blitz. You can do pretty much what you want. 447-3776.
We wouldn't have any calls if it was just good points.
Trust me, we're not going to raise the bar to good points on the blitz. That's not going to happen. 447-3776. Have some fun with it. Get in line, and then Kevin's got one and done for you. Chris Rabin of the Action Network coming up to talk about some of these lines in the NFL, including the Cowboys, a favorite on the road. At Atlanta? Is that true? That can't be true, right? No, the Falcons are favored. They're favored by 3.5. We'll see what Chris thinks of that line and all the rest coming up. It's the Horn.
The Blitz.
All right, here we go. Afternoon Blitz, 447-3776. Jump in line if you're not already there. First Blitzer on a Friday. You're up.
Yeah, this is Rod Babers, and I'm going to make my prediction on the UT Iowa State game tomorrow after the game.
Now that'd be the perfect time.
He does do it before the game.
It
at
will
some
be
point,
before
right?
the okay. game. It will happen before the game. Be listening to the pregame show tomorrow. Blitzer number two, you're up.
Hey Shaka, pull out an old tape of Phi Slamma Jamma or UNLV. Have your players do some dunks, intimidate somebody. I've never seen Larry Johnson or Benny Andrews do a finger roll or a layup.
Benny Anders, I love that.
That's a high bar to set, but sure, whatever works, whatever works.
They've got guys that can finish.
They do. Blitzer number three, you're up.
Yes, I'm on aisle 12. I'm watching this mom with the two boys fighting over cereal. Yes, Cocoa Puffs all over the place. And then the mom said, damn it, boys, I should have swallowed you when I had the chance.
Oh, come on, Digger. What do we – good grief. Trey might dump that. But what are we doing?
He's getting creepier than...
That is really...
Than Monkey.
My God. Yeah, you're right. You are right about that. Blitzer number four.
Digger's officially banned from the Blitz for a couple weeks.
Uh-oh.
He knows your number, Digger. You may be out. Blitzer number four. You're up. All right. No? Okay. Well, maybe not. How about Blitzer number five? You're up.
This is not a 40-pound-to-rock game. It's 50 carries to win this game. And we will get a happy ending.
Wow. 50 carries.
I'm kind of close to that. Yeah, and 18 to 20 from Sam.
They're not carrying the ball 50 times.
No, they're not. Right? But if they do hit that 40 mark, I think this is the type of game to do that.
Uh-huh.
There should be things that are open. The problem is, the more I watch Iowa State and their pass defense, they pass guys off really well. And
that's the story of Mike Mathy.
There's just not tons of room.
I got you. Okay, Trey just gave me my answer. I didn't know if we were doing one more. All right, thank you for the blitz, everybody but Digger today. That was foul.
Well, because technically that was five, because four wasn't there.
I see. Okay, I got you. Okay.
If no one shows up for the at-bat.
That's true. No, you're right.
You're out.
Yeah, we do five opportunities. That's what we offer on the afternoon blitz. It's not like the morning blitz where you just rattle things off and take like 10 or 15. We don't do it that way.
Is Bucky back?
Back? What do you mean?
Wasn't Bucky gone for a day?
I don't know. I didn't realize he took a day off.
Oh.
Oh. Was he back?
Yeah. Glad to see UT George listens.
Bucky works all the time. What are you talking about?
Oh, don't get on that.
Craziness.
Man.
By the way, Bucky and I we've set a goal to ride the Kenfield golf car over to Bevo Boulevard tomorrow. So hopefully we'll have a good report on the Kenfield golf cars. I keep hearing about them. Eric Raines talks about them, but I haven't ridden on one yet.
Jeff Howe was trying to get on one. He ended up having to walk.
Yeah, so hopefully we can get that ride tomorrow. We'll stay tuned. We'll let you know. All right, let's go one and done here. We are sponsored on a Friday.
This segment brought to you by Texas Card House, your home for poker tournaments and cash games 7 days a week in Austin. They've even got barbecue from Rudy's Country Store and Barbecue catered in every Saturday night. TexasCardHouse.com.
And here is Kevin Dunn.
I really hope Les Miles sold Jeff Long in Kansas and that they are 100% certain that he has a lot left in him and that he has a plan that was different than Oklahoma State, a plan that was definitely different when he got to LSU and most definitely different than the one when he was in his prime at LSU. It's going to be just a different type of program to build. We've seen it in our lifetime really have success, and success I never thought Kansas would have. But Miles went 141 and 55 in 16 years. Man, this is going to be a different ball game. This is a huge risk. And we talked about some risks earlier that we've seen in the last couple of years that so far have paid off. I'll be really surprised if this does, unless if they just want to go straight into to what a lot of people in college football do, and certainly what their basketball program does, and start to play a little different game to get players. But even with that, you have to have good coaching. He's going to have to build the staff. I'll be curious to see exactly who wants to go to Lawrence to try and build this. That's not an easy recruiting place, Chad. There's really no base. I mean, you're going to have to go find other places.
Yep.
And you've been such a joke in the Big 12 for a long time. We talked about Texas the last couple of years. And, hey, guys, I mean, these kids, you know, the last time Texas was relevant or really good, they were 8 or 9. Think about Kansas. It's really never. And yeah, with their dad, it's really never. And with their grandfather, it's really never. So this is a really tough job at 65. This just seems desperate to me. It seems like it's good on paper. I'll be surprised if it really works.
One of our texters asked a weird question from the football basketball standpoint. The question is, do you think Kansas is trying this out because they've seen Kentucky find success in football and they're just trying to, I don't know, match it? Because they're both big basketball schools, but the idea that another basketball school, you see what I'm saying? Like,
it could be, yeah.
That they could make that move.
Stoops and him are different.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe they think of it as he's a big name, so maybe they're not fully thinking this through.
Oh, there's no doubt they're doing it because it's a big name in what he's done, and they're thinking that kids are going to see that and go, well, I want to go play for Les Miles. And maybe they do, but Les Miles is also, to me, was never gifted in terms of X's and O's. That was never, in fact, and also the type of offenses he ran, he's going to have to change his philosophy because you need to have some badass Jimmy and Joes to be able to run your 21 personnel ISO and play action off of it to the fast guy in the flats who's going to be a Hall of Fame probably receiver who you're using in some weird way.
Yeah, I don't know if he can get an Odell Beckham Jr. to go to Lawrence, Kansas. I totally agree with you, which is why my first thing from him, if I'm Jeff Long, would be, can you get badass X's and O's, hands-on football coaches to go on that staff?
He's going to have to.
If he doesn't, they're in big trouble.
Right, and I do get he understands the formula to really build it, but building businesses are different. Not only what type of business, but where you're at, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Boy, that's an interesting move. Les Miles, if you're just jumping in, Les Miles apparently is going to sign a deal to become the new Kansas head coach. All righty. Coming up next, we'll talk to Chris Rabin of the Action Network, let you know what the Action Network can do for you. One of our listeners, already a big fan of the Action Network and what that app is doing for them. We'll get his thoughts on the NFL games of the weekend, maybe throw in a college game as well. We'll start with the Cowboys, then the Texans, and roll from there. We're at HEB today, Wells Branch Parkway. Come on by and see us. Get stocked up for all your tailgates. Coming up next hour, we'll also tell you more about the HEB Tailgater of the Year. Trey's going to pick it tomorrow. He'll tell you what he's looking for coming up on the Horn.